Welcome to Federal Insights on Application Services. Ramp up software delivery velocity. Sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. On Federal News Network.
The purpose of computers is to run applications. Computers get old and so do applications. Many federal agencies are finding they need to modernize their applications or else move to new ones. Either choice can be daunting. Tom Temin here. For some of the latest thinking, I spoke with Stephanie Neal Payne, Executive Director of the DHS branch of U.S. Digital Service. We started with a little bit about the agency itself.
U.S. Digital Service was created in 2014 to transform critical public-facing federal government digital services by applying modern technology best practices. We've actually grown to a network of teams. We're all located in D.C., and I run the DHS branch here at USDS.
Yeah, so the original has been kind of transplanted, shoots of it, in the various agencies throughout the government.
Yep, exactly right. We have DOD, DHS, HHS, the VA, as well as small teams within SBA and GSA.
And did you start out at the central branch and got moved over to DHS, or how did you come to this job?
So I joined in March 2016 as an individual contributor directly onto the Department of Homeland Security team.
Okay, so let's talk about the real subject here today, which is application modernization, application services, and looking across DHS, which is a lot to look across. It's like looking across the Grand Canyon. How would you characterize, I mean, what are the top application, online IT application challenges that you have seen so far?
So yes, so we focus on public-facing transactional services, and we have been working within USCIS on immigration services as well as asylum seeker services, as well as earlier this year, we started working with FEMA to help with their grants management modernization work.
So those are the two that have the most that citizens or would-be citizens would be dealing with in dealing with Homeland Security?
Certainly. I mean, obviously, there's also CBP and TSA that have a fair number, but currently we are just embedded in these two agencies.
Yeah, so TSA might play, say, if people are applying for pre-check services.
Yep, exactly right. We actually did a lot of work with the Trusted Traveler Program, which actually is run out of CBP and different from the pre-check. But yeah, we help them relaunch their
That's Global Entry,
yep,
which uses parts of TSA, or they interrelate, but really that's a good application.
Oh, thank you.
It's not easy because the nature of it means you can't speed it up too much. But let's talk about that one. What were some of the lessons learned in building that application?
So for that one, so we worked on that, I believe, 2015, and we launched. So when we first came in, I believe there was a quote from a contractor that they could take 18 months to redo the front end. And we came in and said, hey, we can work with these folks. And actually, in 6 months, we will relaunch everything top to bottom, front end, back end.
Yeah, so not just put a pretty face on it for 18 months, but put a whole new application in for 6 months.
Exactly right.
And how did that happen?
Well, it didn't happen exactly like that. It took us more like 10 months. But we worked together, and we basically just really focused on scoping as well as organizing the teams into working with the teams to organize into agile scrum teams and focus on actually delivering the bare minimum for an MVP. And alongside the Trusted Traveler folks, we were able to get something out the door within about 10 months.
So what I'm hearing is breaking applications up into small pieces and not trying to bite the whole elephant at once.
Exactly right.
And is it true that you really need to involve the owners of the application while you're at it?
Yes. So definitely making sure the program managers are on board and are bought into the processes that you're bringing, such as doing usability testing, doing test-driven development. We actually, setting up test-driven development was one of our major pushes with the developers on that project, and we had a ton of support from the CIO, which made that possible.
And when you do usability testing, I mean, these are applications that are deployed to the public, and so how do you know how good it is for them to try to use those? I mean, if you're deploying an internally used application, it's easy. You just get Tom, Dick, and Harry down the hall and sit in front of a screen and try it. What about when the public is involved?
Well, then you leverage the public and you test with the public and you get a good NDA in place.
And there's a mechanism for bringing in people, just random, and sitting them down and seeing how the application works?
Yep, absolutely. And that's the thing about usability testing. It's not something that's done at scale, but it's done, you know, it's qualitative research. So you try to back that with metrics once you launch, and you look at the full picture that way.
So if someone sits for 30 seconds trying to figure out step two to step three, you know, maybe we could tighten that one up a little bit.
Exactly right.
All right. And getting to USCIS, their issue is forms. And they had been hammering at that and spending hundreds of millions of dollars for years and years and years and getting nowhere. What has changed? Because now they have got somewhere.
Yes. No, that's very true. So, for anyone who knows the story, obviously, this effort started in the early 2000s and ultimately had to be scrapped and restarted. By the time USDS actually came in, I believe they had close to 10% online, so they had started making some progress. But in the 4 years, a little less than 4 years that we've been working with them, they're now actually they have about 50% of their workload online. So they've definitely made some huge gains over the past 4 years.
And this is automation of forms, putting them in digital form online.
Yes. So it's the processing piece as well as the intake or the e-filing for users.
And what was involved in doing that? Because these are complicated processes and you have them ingestion points all over the place.
So it really is a system of systems. So understanding the business process and then re-engineering it in such a way where we were taking advantage of technology and the fact that it's different than paper. Some things are easier, but some things are harder.
Stephanie Neal Payne is Executive Director of the Homeland Security Branch of U.S. Digital Service. We'll return after this short break and get into more depth about business processes and applications. I'm Tom Temin.
General Dynamics Information Technology and CSRA are now one company offering next-generation solutions across the government. We support the warfighter, the intelligence community, the research scientist, and our citizens. Partnering with our government customers, we're delivering advanced cloud, cybersecurity, managed services, and enterprise IT solutions to transform government today. With General Dynamics Information Technology, next is here. Discover more at GDIT.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Stephanie Neal Payne, Executive Director of the Homeland Security Branch of U.S. Digital Service. I asked her more about starting with the mission and its processes when it comes to updating applications and application services. So when you want to examine a business process, what's the first thing you do? How do you get it rendered so that you can understand how to digitize it?
So user research is where we would start. USDS as a whole, we use this mechanism called a discovery sprint, which is basically a time-boxed research and analysis effort. Where we go in, we sit with users, we watch, you know, the process go end to end, and we understand what are the pain points and where are areas where, you know, technology can make things easier.
Because there's
faster.
A lot of rules involved.
Absolutely.
In other words, I'm applying for something through USCIS. I could be an immigrant or I could be someone seeking asylum, whatever the case might be. And then it has to be approved, and there's court, and there's steps.
Yes.
I mean, it's really complicated.
Yes, and there's a ton of complicated business logic. So obviously working closely with subject matter experts, working very, very closely with the agency, the program is able to deliver the right product.
Now, in some cases, you were going into a green field. That is, there was no existing code to express that business logic. It was just hand-done process?
So I don't know that I would say that. I think, you know, Ellis as a system had one of its major benefits lines in it, right, when we came. And I think that, and obviously there were a number of legacy systems that we could, isolate and modernize in a way so that it was then usable by Ellis and you know, could support the case processing aspect.
Sure. So you have really two aspects to worry about. One is the old code, and the other is making sure that the business logic and the reflects the proper processes in the new code.
Yep, absolutely.
And how do you deal with the old code? I mean, what type of code did they have?
So Java, they were largely using Java.
So at least it wasn't COBOL.
Right. I actually didn't know what COBOL was until I joined the U.S. government.
Wow. We should note for radio listeners that Stephanie is not my age.
couple years younger.
Sure. So you have this Java code.
Yes. Yeah.
And how much of it is reusable, or how much do you have to extract the logic from it and re-render it in some other code?
Well, so what's interesting is I want to say 2015, possibly 2016, the CIO at USCIS decided that they wanted to move toward a microservice architecture, right? At present, it was basically this huge monolith of code that, you know, you make one change, it could break something completely unrelated, or several things completely unrelated, which is obviously a huge risk. So the IT group as a whole actually started this new strategy to start breaking off and building out microservices, and they have made a lot of great progress on that front.
And do microservices help render the applications as virtual machines so that they can be deployed around the country? Or am I conflating two things here?
I think you might be conflating. Essentially, what it does is it makes things easier for, it reduces the burden on developers, and it isolates the code so that, again, it decreases risk when you're launching new features, launching new code.
So the microservices can be redeployed for other applications and you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel?
Correct. In theory, correct. Yeah.
Yeah, so that you could almost have, I guess, a library of functionality that all of the people that own different processes could use, and only parts of it would have to be custom for whatever it is.
Right. Like pay.gov, for instance, supports a number of different applications and use cases and needs.
All right. And what about mobility? And how do you make sure that these things work in a mobile environment on mobile phones and so forth? Because that seems to be pretty much what the whole world wants.
Mm-hmm. So we as a team have been more focused on supporting the internal processing, which is, of course, done, you know, in offices on desktop. But there was an interesting piece where, so the one of the original goals of transformation was to basically eradicate paper, fully eradicate paper from the process. So there were still these touch points when the applicants would come in and, you know, be going through an interview, and they would have to like validate information and sign a sheet of paper. So we actually introduced the usage of iPads so that it could communicate with the Ellis, you know, web application. And the users or and the applicants could then just go through, validate, give a signature.
So that really gets rid of paper.
And, right.
When I mentioned microservices as part of virtualization, what mm-hmm. I meant was containers. Mm-hmm. And is there a container strategy for the microservices such that they can be deployed in many instances?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what I'm asking is, the old applications were basically client-server,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to get to something more distributed on the cloud, I imagine,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, actually, I'd say very similarly, you know, containerization and virtualization, like that, again, is just another way to reduce the burden on developers. And again, you know, that reduces risk, which is a key factor in government decision making, as I'm sure you know.
And did you go into any, yes, and did you go into any situations where you had to start from scratch, where there was no digital application at all, no legacy?
So yes, absolutely. We did, you know, our original incarnation of our team did come in and help get the I-90, so renewal of green card form online for the first time, where, you know, obviously the program had been doing a lot of work, and we came in and just brought in certain practices like user research, you know, creating a task-based UI, as well as introducing phased rollouts, which have really set the tone for how they roll out new products, you know, paper to digital products.
And just out of curiosity, are green cards actually green?
No, they're kind of like they're white and then have kind of like a bluish greenish
tint.
Yeah.
And is there a digital version of those that someone that is working under a green card could have on their phone?
Not yet, but that has been envisioned by the program.
Yeah, I figure that would make a good next step. And is there any situations where maybe the existing code just had to be junked and they would start all over?
In our time working with the program, we haven't seen that. But I do know that the, you know, initial incarnation of transformation, you know, the product was known as Ellis, Electronic Immigration System. You know, it was Ellis One, as it's called now, actually had to be ultimately scrapped. And then they started a new effort known as Ellis Two, which is where they started to leverage, you know, agile practices and modern software techniques.
Sure. And hopefully Ellis is not an island of innovation. I'm just making a joke there. But actually, my question is, to what extent do all of these different siloed applications that make up the bundle for USCIS have to communicate across with one another? Because someone might be a green card, maybe asylum, maybe illegal immigration, trying to convert, whatever. They might cross lines at some point.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, people are identified by what is called their alien number. There has been a huge technology push on the back end to move toward a person-centric system so that, you know, we can identify all the different benefits that a person is eligible for or involved in receiving quickly.
Yes, because with person-centric, then you also need a unique number because so many names are the same.
Correct. And ideally, this will be based off of exactly this A number, and it's just going through consolidation of that.
Stephanie Neal Payne is Executive Director of the Homeland Security Department branch of U.S. Digital Service. We'll be back after this short break when Payne discusses projects at FEMA. I'm Tom Temin.
General Dynamics Information Technology and CSRA are now one company offering next-generation solutions across the government. We support the warfighter, the intelligence community, the research scientist, and our citizens. Partnering with our government customers, we're delivering advanced cloud, cybersecurity, managed services, and enterprise IT solutions to transform government today. With General Dynamics Information Technology, Next is here. Discover more at GDIT.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Stephanie Neal Payne, Executive Director of Homeland Security Branch of U.S. Digital Service. I asked her about another Homeland Security agency beyond USCIS. And let's turn to FEMA, the other big one. And golly, they have been so busy in the last couple of years, it's astounding. Mm-hmm. And they have this immediate need in a high security situation to identify people eligible for payments almost within days of some sort of disaster. Mm-hmm. Even as we speak, the fires are burning, you know, in California. Tell us about the landscape at FEMA and what type of work you've done there.
Sure. So you kind of touched on this, but so FEMA provides citizens, first responders, local governments, and public services with roughly $10 billion in grants per year to essentially improve the capability to prepare for, respond to, and recover from natural disasters like these fires. So this effort, known as GMM, Grants Management Modernization, actually kicked off in 2015, the goal was to streamline their 40-plus different grants programs that were spread across 10 unique systems into one grants management platform. And obviously, with more than 25 million Americans affected by unprecedented disasters in 2017 alone, the need to simplify the programs is more critical now than ever.
So these grants go to individuals, or do they go to other agencies?
So there's public assistance, there's individual assistance, there's there's the fire grants that you mentioned. There's just a huge variety of these types of programs.
So how did you approach getting these all consolidated?
So we're very much in the process of working with the program to do just that, and it is a huge challenge, certainly. We actually were asked to start working with the program earlier this year, so January 2018, and our goal was to help work with them to organize for delivery. So they had started working on the firefighters grants, and they actually delivered their first set of functionality earlier this year, so August.
Yeah, so how, of the 10 systems you're trying to get into one basic overall system, how different were each of the 10 in terms of the code base and compatibility?
Oh, very different and very legacy, let's say. Some systems were basically down more frequently than up. The program actually, this is one of those cases where they're actually writing code, just rewriting the application and creating the platform from scratch.
I imagine the microservices must really come into play there because you have people applying, you have treasury disbursements and so forth. I mean, I imagine, I'm just guessing, 50% of the 10 systems, 50% of their functions might be common.
We're actually looking to leverage the financial system modernization that's also being done within FEMA, which will help support this effort a lot.
And what about the databases that all of these different applications called on. That's an issue also, too.
That's a huge issue, yes. So we are looking to take the sort of modern approach of wrapping the databases with a good API, migrating the users to use that API, and then modernizing underneath so as not to disrupt. Because data migration, I think, is always is frequently one of the most underestimated
sure.
parts of
now technology. You have 10 systems at FEMA, and you've got 10 owners and 10 lines of business, and you've got to herd those cats.
Absolutely. So we're starting small with just AFG. But actually, since the recent, you know, obviously the recent launch of functionality, we're starting to look at what's the more strategic approach and how can we help support the program in, you know, developing something that is streamlined but still meets the needs of the, you know, different submissions from
sure.
within.
Now, it's not your job, but it must, I imagine, make your job easier if the administrator says, you know what, you 10 lines of business owners, you got to play nice because we've got to let USDS get us into where we need to be.
Yes, so that is the role of the product owner, and she is pushing that very deftly, and we look forward to making some progress
sure.
against that.
And what is the end vision that you have for this consolidated grant application?
Well, I think just having, you know, that single platform that, again, meets the needs of the users, but is streamlined to the point where, you know, not every field, you know, not every office is doing something differently.
And is that something that will reside in the cloud when it's finished, as opposed to a FEMA data center?
Yes, we are leveraging AWS.
Yes, because I imagine there are sometimes when there's no activity and sometimes when there's intense activity and you only want to pay for when it's on and
right.
running and not have a data center that you've got to own constantly sitting there humming
right.
in between disasters.
Absolutely.
I guess in a perfect world, you'd never need it, but
yes.
that's not the world we're going to have.
Not currently.
And after this, what's next for anywhere in DHS? What do you see long-term in application modernization there?
So it's always hard to say because we work on, you know, the most critical challenges of the day, at the behest of the department. So sometimes we can just get some sudden projects that appear. But, you know, we plan to continue working with Citizenship and Immigration Services, as well as ideally other parts of FEMA, particularly around disaster recovery and relief.
And where is your office located?
We're located in Gallery Place, D.C.
And when you get in the morning, what's the first thing you do as the executive director of the DHS branch of U.S. Digital Service? You turn on a screen and look at code, or do you look at progress reports?
So more look at progress reports and prepare. The first thing I do actually from home, you know, is prepare for the day. Because, of course, I'm in wall-to-wall meetings representing the team and the good work that they're doing.
Yeah. Do you ever get the hankering just to sit down and knock out a few blocks of code?
No, I'm a product person, so I'm more interested in, are we delivering on the right things? Are we working on the right problems? And then my deputy, who's an engineer, he worries about the code.
And someone who came onto the scene in the post-COBOL era, how do you get along with those cranky old COBOL guys?
I think most of them have retired, which is part of the problem. But no, honestly, everyone I've worked with in government has been terrific. I mean, people join public service because they want to solve real impactful problems. It's the same reason we're here. So we have a lot in common.
Stephanie Neal Payne is Executive Director of the Homeland Security Department branch of U.S. Digital Service. To hear this interview in its entirety, visit federalnewsnetwork.com, search Federal Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights on Application Services. Ramp up software delivery velocity. Sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. The program is available on demand at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search GDIT.